welcome. Hey, how you doing? It's Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. I'm your co-host, James Parker. This weather stinks, doesn't it? I am not made for this. I realize somewhere, because of my fair complexion, that I have ancestors that go back to Europe, and I should be used to this, but I'm not. I'm from the South, and this is craziness. We've got some great financial news for you, though. I didn't want to leave you hanging on a day like today where you probably got behind at work and your patterns are all messed up, and now the Pelicans are on, so you got to listen online or on the podcast after the fact. Well, if you're going to make the trouble to still hear the show, then I'm going to do one for you. I have a hilarious story. It's coming up later in the show, but if you're not around to hear this, you may want to come back and check out the podcast again later for this. The IRS hired some private sector bill collectors to collect back taxes. Now, look, this is always a good idea. I now have to put a caveat on that. I'm so used to saying this is always a good idea. This is almost always a good idea for the government to lean on the private sector, because the private sector does things more efficiently, better results, lower costs, better customer service. It's all around. It just embarrasses the government hand over fist. Sometimes the private sector is too good at their job. The IRS hired some private sector bill collectors to collect their back taxes, and I'll tell you the details later, but I'm going to go ahead and spoil the ending for you. They got ripped off. It's hilarious. It is so cute. It's adorable at this point. Like, I don't even get mad when the government gets ripped off or waste our money, because it's so normal that if it made me upset, I would be miserable. But stuff like this, now it kind of warms my heart. Oh, what's that like to have bill collectors ruin your life? Oh, that's so bad. Such a shame. Also, a great rundown I got from Reason.com on, I'll just read you the headline here. Start saving now because Social Security is screwed. I'm also going to tell you another little Social Security quirk here. You know, we like to point out when the laws and the policies get a little weird. If you're a millionaire, and I don't mean if you've accumulated $1 million in wealth, I mean if you're going to make, as a salaried employee on someone's payroll, $1 million this year, not capital gains, I'm saying your salary is $1 million a year. You know that people like that, they don't have to pay Social Security taxes after about February 16th. Did you know that? Yeah, well, you're like, well, that's not fair. I got to have payroll taxes taken out of my paycheck all year round. There's a good explanation, and I don't think you're going to be upset when you hear it. This actually kind of makes sense. Now, should it be this way? I'm okay with it. I'd like to get rid of Social Security altogether, but that's not what you're asking me, is it? So we have some great stories to get to, but I'm not touching any of this until we do the numbers, because today,
the numbers.
Yeah, the numbers segment. This is what we do on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks, when we give you a snapshot and the numbers of what all happened on the stock market today and markets in general. And what we've been on as of late is we've been on a history watch. So now the question is, the secondary question is not just how the markets do today. Did we break any records? Did we make any history? Man, oh man, did we make history. So yeah, are the markets still running? Are the bulls still going? Is magic still happening? Is my 401k still growing just beyond belief? Yes. Magic happened again, lightning in a bottle. Not only did the stock market, the Dow Jones, close at a new all-time high, it broke a new barrier. It broke 26,000 and closed above it this time. Now, it broke 26,000 for the first time yesterday, but it closed, fell down a little bit and closed a little behind where it started. But today it got above 26,000 and it stayed. It thought about coming back, but then it added more positive to the number. And before all was said and done, it added 322 points today. So not only did it cross 26,000, it closed at 26,115. Yeah, .65. There's a .65 in there. But come on now. Give him a little bit of a break. It was a 1.25% gain. That is your new historic number. But a couple other history-making events are underscored by that number. 8 trading days is all it took since we crossed 25,000 to get to 26,000. We took a 1,000-point gain in 8 trading days. For the close, heck, just to get to 26,000, it was 7, but the close, 1,000 points higher. That is by far the fastest it's ever been in history. This economy is good. It is getting better. It basically has a jet backpack on its back, and it's shooting its way to the moon right now. Now, eventually, it's going to run out of atmosphere, and it's going to, you know, be a little oxygen depleted, and it's going to have to fall back to Earth. But as it stands right now, I don't know where this thing is going to end, and I have a lot of reasons to assume that the good times still have quite a bit of room to run as well. Look, this story was so big, even producer Angie recognized this magnitude, and she floated me a link in the middle of the day. Look, Angie knows what's going on, but she's not often sending me stories saying, oh my goodness, did you see this? Well, on this one today, yeah, the headlines are incredible. Apple, just the most valuable company in the world, no big deal. They have announced that they're going to be repatriating some funds. What was it, Angie? I think it was $350, or was it $350,000?
Oh, a little higher,
No, that's right. It was $350 million, right?
A little more. A lot more.
That's a B. $350 billion. That's all. So what are they going to do with that money? Well, they're going to do a couple things with that money. They all announced that they're going to be, as part of some new changes stemming from the tax reform bill, they're going to be hiring 20,000 new workers over the next 5 years to go along with that repatriation of $350 billion over the next 5 years. And, yeah, some employees are going to get a bonus over here. What are they getting? I think they're going to get a free Happy Meal toy. Is that right? Now, they're not even getting the $1,000 bonus. They're not even getting the $2,000 bonus. They're getting a $2,500 bonus. That may be crumbs to some people, but $2,500 would be welcomed in the Parker household right now. I mean, who am I kidding? It's all going to get turned over to Visa pretty quick. But still, that would be $2,500 less I have to pay in interest on our credit card balances. Because, look, my eye is on the prize for 2018. 2018 is the year I absolve all of my debt, except for the car. Miss Parker's car, that is. I'm Miss Parker. And, of course, the house. I'm not paying off $178,000 worth of principal in 2018. As ambitious as I may be, that's just mathematically impossible. I mean, even if I didn't feed my kids for a year, I wouldn't be able to do that. So there's such great news going on. And the big pitiful context we have to put this in is you turn on the news and you would never know. There's only two channels you can go to where they're bragging about how great the economy is doing. And they've proven themselves to be so biased in other facets that I don't blame you if you don't embrace their narrative full force. But at some time, you got to recognize that this economy is on the move like it hasn't been in about 11 years. I'm not just blaming the last guy. The last couple of years of the dude before him stunk too. But, you know, I remember the second Bushy, he got GDP growth up to like 6% at one point. Last guy didn't do 3% on an annualized basis for 1 year. It's the first time a president never had 3% growth in a year. I'm thinking 4% is going to be pretty easy to bust through for 2018. But, man, we may have beat 3% in 2017. I think we're going to get those numbers next week. Don't we get the GDP numbers Q4? Did we talk about that yet? So there's a lot of great stuff going on. As far as the rest of the numbers go, there's more good news to be had in here. It's not just the Dow that's having fun, and it's not just Apple that's making headlines. I better do this in order. We'll get to Boeing and Caterpillar when we do the short list here. But the S&P also closed at an all-time high, and it broke through a milestone as well. It added 26 points to cross the 2,800 mark for the first time. So it closed at 2,802.56. It gained almost a full percent today. NASDAQ, similar story. It gained a full percent as well. Closed at its new all-time high, 7,298. This is the most incredible story that is being ignored right now. Oh, but he called the horrible nation a dirty name. And, well, his doctor didn't completely rule out 100% that the guy's never going to be a demented, drooling maniac. And, oh, well, then there's these other guys who went on a date and they got a little handsy with their... Come on, man. The news is so trifling and petty. It's like listening to my kids argue. You know what he said? Here's what he said. Mom, hey, Dad, so-and-so called me and whatever. So-and-so's being bad to me. The youngest one, 2 years old, she just, when she gets upset, that's her default phrase. Rexy, be bad to me. You're going to have to define being bad. It doesn't matter. Every day, it sounds like my two-year-old. I turn on the TV. He's being bad to me. He hurt my feelings. It's a bad word. Hey, look, grown-ups are over here making tons of money. Go look at your 401k statement. In fact, the friend of the show, the maestro, Jefferson Performing Arts Society. You know, those guys put together a hell of a murder mystery dinner theater. We'll talk about that sometime soon. But I was in his office earlier this week, and he said, my 401k grew by $16,000 last month. $16,000 in a month. Now, granted, he's been putting into his 401k, technically 403b, a lot longer than I have, so his balance is a little higher. So whenever you see a 35% run-up in the S&P 500 over the last 14 months, the ability to capture half of that is totally within reason. But to do that in almost a month's time, just, man, such good news out there. What are we concerned about? Well, it's really cold over here, and there was a mudslide over there, and there's a fire over there, and someone got murdered over there, and here's a cop that was mean to a guy, and then here's this couple, and I know this has no effect on anyone in the outside world, but they were chaining their kids to the bed. And look, that's a horrible story, and it's a compelling story, but it's not news. It doesn't fit what news and journalism is. They're supposed to be telling you the information that you need to know that you missed while you were out busy. Stuff that affects you, stuff that you want to know, stuff that makes you a better citizen so you know how to vote and what policies to support and what to look out for and what scams are out there and things that affect you and your family. Most of the stuff that they're talking about these days does not fit that mold. This does. How many people are more able to retire now? How you doing? You know, if you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, give me a call. Let's see if we can get you some help. 504-260-0995. 504-260-0995. Download the Winning at Life app. That'll connect you to the show as well. And if maybe you want to call the show in the future and you don't remember the number, you don't have to remember the number. We've made it so simple that when you open the app on the front screen, is the options that we found people were using the most. It's pretty cool. It's probably what you would do if you had an app. You would put it up and you would set it up the way you think that everyone wants it, and then you would monitor the traffic and see what everyone's doing, and you'd say, okay, well, people are really doing basically these six things more than anything else. We'll just put a button for each of those on the front screen and boom, make it even easier. So go check that out. Also, we had some new uploads to the Winning at Life YouTube channel. Got some compliments on the YouTube channel last week. Some guy saying, man, I've been treating that like an associate's degree. I was like, excuse me? The Winning at Life YouTube channel is not an associate's degree. I would say it's at least a bachelor's degree, and it's bordering on master's. We're in the middle of the numbers segment, something else you can do on the app. Go find the charts and graphs we look at for the numbers segment as well. We went through all our indices and everything finished in the positive. The Dow all-time high, S&P all-time high, NASDAQ all-time high, my buddy over there, and the Russell 2000 all-time high. Even the Wilshire 5000 posted a whole percent gain, and I believe that's at its all-time high as well. It is an amazing run that we're on. I know it's not that important because no one used the S word with it, and so it's not going to get so much attention. But when it comes to 10-year treasuries, we're looking at our favorite debt instrument here, and it went in the right direction. Well, that's pretty subjective. For me, it's the right direction. We need that. We need that up. Period. We need that to keep going up to somewhere around 4%, and it finished today 2.58%. Gold dropped off. Look, it's been on quite a tear since about the middle of December, and it had a couple of pullback days there at the beginning of January, but it had a great week thus far. Gave back a little bit today, finished at $1,326.63 per ounce on the last trade. Those are your aftermarket numbers. And then oil, look, it stayed up, but it is not enjoying its time being above 60. It got above 64. It gave back a little bit of that today, but managed to stay pretty not volatile. There was not a lot of beta, as Gregory likes to say, in today's oil number. But $64, this is where we're getting in the Goldilocks zone as far as oil goes for here in Southeast Louisiana, Gulf Coast of Mississippi. Really, that whole oil strip that starts sort of just past Mobile and then wraps all the way around to Corpus Christi. We love this number because it's not so high that it's choking out businesses outside of the oil industry, and it's not so low that it's choking out the oil industry. The oil industry's happy. Outside industry's happy. $64. We can absolutely live with this. Dude, how great are things? We got some more oil rigs going in the ground. Canada's got a ton more oil rigs going in the ground. We have people overseas that are trying to draw back their production because they think that that's going to bring the price back up, but all they're doing is losing market share to Americans and Canadians. This is great. The economy is the most important thing in the world, or in statecraft, I should say. The economy is the most important thing that should be considered when you're governing a nation. If you're a politician, the stuff that they gripe about on TV, right and left, most of that stuff doesn't matter. And I don't want to minimize anyone's pet project here, but no country has ever collapsed because someone couldn't get the proper wedding cake from a baker. But they have collapsed for economic reasons. They have collapsed because they overextended themselves, because they've taken on too much debt. They got too big in spending. They had too much welfare, too many entitlements. And there's really only two way empires collapse. One's an economic collapse, and one is, yeah, your country's doing good, but this country next to you was doing even better, and they ran over you with their military. There's no one that can run over us with their military. We would have to go through a long, sustained, systemic decline for that to happen. But we could collapse economically pretty quick. How'd the Soviet Union go down? Did the Soviet Union collapse because people who aren't sure what gender they are couldn't choose where they go to the bathroom? Or was it an economic collapse? But that goes for both sides. Has a country ever collapsed because someone was kneeling for the anthem? No. And while I understand your point, why you find that offensive, but that's not nearly as important as what we're seeing in the stock market, as what we're seeing in your paychecks starting next month. That the tax reform payroll withholdings kick in, and 90% of workers are going to see more money in their check starting next month. At the latest, some of you are already seeing it. In fact, today was the day my direct deposit came through where my check got bigger. Starts today for me. It is a bright, shining day. Well, and I have some other things going on, too. I also got a letter from Wells Fargo yesterday. And starting March 1st, I no longer have to pay the private mortgage insurance, or primary mortgage, whatever PMI stands for. So I'm getting about $180 raise off of that. Look at what's going on, though. Look at the hiring that's happening. Look at the wage increases that are happening, the bonuses that are happening, the expansions that are happening, the repatriation of funds. Just like some people predicted and some people said wouldn't happen, now we know who's right. Now we know who to trust when there's another economic prediction or when there's another claim that, oh no, we can't do this or XYZ. Remember who was right and who was wrong in all these battles. That way, when the next debate comes, you'll know who to listen to and who's full of it. But let's look at this short sheet. This is where it's getting fancy. Facebook was down a little bit. Amazon was down just a tad. Netflix was down quite a bit, 1.8%. But you had Apple up 1.65%, and it was sort of moseying along today until it made the announcement we're repatriating more money than Costa Rica's worth. Probably a couple of Costa Rica's worth. $350 billion is what they're repatriating, thanks to the reform bill that just got signed last month. They're hiring 20,000 new workers, and most of their salaried employees are getting a bonus of about $2,500. That'll be good for your stock right there. But it didn't stop there. Alphabet, the parent company of Google, it was up 0.9%. Yahoo was up 0.3%. Microsoft was up 2%. Man, that's in one day. I can't get 2% if I leave the money in my savings account for an entire year. And Microsoft stock gave me 2% in one day. Now you see why people love to mess around with stocks. I might have to go do some Googling on the next break, though, because Ford, our buddies over at Ford, a company I love, down 7% today. 7% in one day. Should I go look at the earnings bus? Did they get run over by the earnings bus? Is that what happened? I don't know. Angie, did you see anything on Ford today that I need to know about? Because that's a scary number. They make some awesome trucks. I need that company to be okay. Oh, you were just saying no on the Ford thing?
Is Detroit doing their car show this week? That's a big deal. Oh, that makes a difference.
Well, not a 7% difference, and that doesn't explain why Fiat Chrysler is up 1.8%. General Motors is down almost 0.4%. Tesla's up 2%. Ford's down 7%, though. That's a huge move that's not reflected in any of the other car companies, so I don't think it can be a Detroit thing in general. Now, I'm happy Fiat Chrysler is still facing some green in their stock price, because they're the company that announced that we're going to take production of, I think it was one of their SUVs, we're going to take it from Mexico, and we're going to start building it in Michigan again. They had closed down the Michigan facility, done it in Mexico, and then they announced that one's coming back. Also, some more fun that's being had on the short sheet is one of my other favorite companies of all time, and that's Walmart, up 2%. I think they're riding the wave of some of their restructuring, and it's not just the bonuses that they got news for this week. They also announced that they closed a bunch of Sam's stores, and they're going to lay off a few other people, but it sounds more like management, and it's just at the headquarters. So they're getting slim and trim and cutting the fat. Those are the kind of cuts that are good for your stock. So look at Walmart go. Maybe I can get my groceries a little cheaper if they find some new efficiencies. Been keeping our eye on GE. And GE, General Electric, holds a special place in the hearts of Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks, because it is the last remaining Dow component that was on the very first index back in the late 1800s. And they didn't have 30 back then. I think it was just 12, the Dirty Dozen. So we're watching. And look, that's a company you kind of just, I don't know anyone that works there, and I don't have any vested interest. I don't own any stock. But that's a company, it has a little bit of heartstrings in it. Fizz, our parent company of LaCroix, I contributed to that today. Miss Parker would like some more Lime LaCroix. They're up 3.5% today. Harley Davidson was up 0.5%. ResMed is up 1%. And Roku is up 6%. Now, all this action that you just heard about can be found on the short sheet. You can go to winningitlife.com, or you can download the Winning It Life app. And there's just a couple of thumb pushes there, so you can see all these charts and graphs. And look, it's super user friendly. You see how I have the stocks all laid out, and if you click the little ticker symbol, it'll pop up the graph for the chart for just that stock, and you can change it. You can make it adjustable, change the size, and whatever. All your little details. All right, coming up next, I'm going to tell you a sad little story, and it's not going to break your heart a bit. It's about how the IRS got screwed over by some bill collectors that they hired themselves to go after you. So it almost feels like a little sense of justice here. But don't you love hearing about the big guys in D.C. screwing it up, especially a group as hated as the IRS? All right, we'll enjoy this next together. If you have a financial question, though, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. Might have a little dirt on my boots, but I'm taking you uptown tonight. Inside. Gonna hit the club, gonna cut a rug, burn it up like neon lights. Might have a little dirt on my boots. welcome. Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. I'm your co-host, James Parker. Hey, remember, if you have a financial situation that requires more than just calling into a radio show, and you're worried about it, and it's just weighing on you like a ton of bricks, you don't have to keep living your life like that. You can call Gregory's office. His day job takes care of people who have been in your situation before. And he can either help you himself, point you in the right direction of the financial professional that can help you, or he can put your mind at ease. You'd be surprised at how much this happens. He says, you don't need me. You don't need anybody. What you're doing is correct. Go on about your business. And if you have any other future questions, give me a call back. But you don't need to pay me a fee, and you don't need to get on someone else's accounts payable or accounts receivable just to get some help. Here's what you need to do. Dude, I'm not going to charge you for a two-sentence answer. So if you want to get past the radio show and get some professional financial help, Gregory Ricks and Associates is the title sponsor of the show as well, 504-832-9200. However, Bob and Picayune is called the show, 504-260-0995. And let's see if I can help you out, Bob. What's up?
Well, I have a question about price-earnings ratios in today's environment compared to maybe a year ago. With things going up, it's always a matter of, you know, expectations. You know, is where the market value comes from. Are there any comparisons relative to just what the P.E. ratios are now? Nobody ever mentions that with the stock market taking off the way it is.
Well, let me put some caveats in there, not to deflect your question too much. Gregory is the guy that is far more well-versed than I am. But as far as price-to-earnings ratios go, you're asking a smart-mouth co-host of a financial talk show. So while my expertise isn't there, I have observed a lot of expert discussion here, Bob. And price-to-earnings ratio, right now, they're so wildly wide depending on what stock you look at, but this isn't the top of the price to earnings ratio. That actually peaked in the tech boom that we had in the late 90s, because off the top of my head, like there's two of the FANG stocks. I think Facebook is like at 3 times and Amazon's at like 30 times price to earnings ratio. So you have such a wide gulf there, but if you go back into not that distant history, in like 1998, 99, 2000, at the boiling point of the tech bubble, you had some PE ratios approaching 50. And seriously, Bob, like I said, I'm not the expert. The only reason I remember that is because they were called the Nifty 50, and that's when for a hair there, Bill Gates was worth like $100 billion, and now he's not, and then he's never recovered. Like, Bill Gates was worth more in 1999 than he is in 2018, and that was all based on that ridiculous overvaluation of stocks. Now it does feel like, if you're starting to sense that it's feeling like the late 90s again, we are starting to approach that rarefied air, but this is not the pinnacle of the outlandish price to earnings multiples. Does that help?
It surprised me, because everybody sees more highs coming up anyway, so it's got to keep moving up at this point.
It does until it doesn't. You know, at some point, someone's going to have to get some value for this money that they're throwing at it. So, are you asking because you think it's a bubble, or are you asking because you're not sure if it's a bubble, and or maybe seeing if there's been a bigger bubble? What even brings up this question?
No, I'm expecting it to keep going up. I was just looking for some verification of where my guesses were here, and that it's there may be some real high numbers over there. But right now, I mean, Apple is certainly indication of where things are really going right now, and I see more of that. So I don't see it as a top yet either.
Right. I mean, but no one felt like we were at a top in 99 and 2000 either. People were still, it's amazing that the guys that go back and they do sort of these meta analysis when people study the last crash. And it was one of these things where a majority of PhD branded economists were telling people to jump into the market in 1999, like right before it all crashed. It was almost a consensus. And that's something that the guys at Zero Hedge have brought up before. In fact, there's an article I keep in the bottom of my folder here from a couple years ago where I think it was in 2015. The guy writing under the pseudonym Tyler Durden in the Zero Hedge blog said, I know the next recession is not happening in 2018 because there was an economic conference and the vast majority of PhD economists at this conference. They all had a meeting and they all ran their ideas by each other and they all came to the consensus that the next recession is going to happen in 2018. It's the weirdest thing, Bob. These guys are so wrong all the time that this guy is predicting that if you take the opposite of what the PhD economists are predicting, you're more likely to be right. And Bob, it looks like you might be right too about 2018 over what all the PhD economists were saying just in 2015. It's a crazy world we live in.
Yeah, agreed. Well, good. Thanks.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for listening to the show, Bob. I appreciate you calling in. Good stuff. If you want to be after Bob, 504-260-0995. 504-260-0995. You want to make fun of the IRS? Well, that's a stupid question. Of course you do. Of course you do. We hate those guys. Everyone hates those guys. In fact, they're so hated, it's one of the few things that you could say, oh, I hate those people. And everyone goes, yeah, right on. There's not one person who's like, well, every human being has value. Yeah, if you're not in the IRS, come on. I mean, I don't care what you say about Haiti. The IRS, that's a hole of some sort. I don't know. It could be anything. So the IRS hired bill collectors to collect back taxes, and, well, they got ripped off. It's heartwarming, isn't it? It's almost like I wish it was still Christmas time.
It's the most.
It's one of these feelings. It's not really, though. The story's going to make you happy, and then it will make you mad, and then it will make you happy again. So follow along on this emotional roller coaster where we make fun of the IRS. Recent internal report finding. The IRS set up a program that allowed private bill collectors to go after taxpayers for back taxes. They spent $20 million in 2016 and 2017. And you know how much money they collected in back taxes? I know, it's sad. $6.7 million. They spent $20 million. They spent $20 million in taxpayer dollars to go collect $6.7 million. How bad is the government at being efficient and doing the task, whatever their charge may be? If you spend $20 million to go pick up $6.7 million, the taxpayers would have been better off if you took that $20 million and just held onto it and not hired a soul, not listened to anyone, not started a new program. So we're all giggling, right? Well, here's the part where you're not going to giggle. Because you think, wow, I guess they learned their lesson. They'll never do that again. No, if you go look at a review from the Tax Policy Center, who is the one who's bringing this report to light here, they're telling you that this is actually the third time that Congress has sponsored a private bill collection program. And the last two attempts failed, too. They can't stop kicking themselves in the jimmy here. What is going on, you guys? So it's funny because the Tax Policy Center, these guys must be angels here because they were warning immediately after the program passed because it just got slipped into a highway bill in 2015. Isn't that always shady? You know, you wonder what all these earmarks here. This was supposed to build roads and bridges. So look, we're about to have another conversation on roads and bridges. They're going to spend a bunch of your money to do things that aren't roads and bridges like this. So in 2015, they set aside $20 million for this collection program. The Tax Policy Center was keeping an eye on them. They said it was immediately they were implementing it illegally from the beginning. They were targeting taxpayers facing financial hardship. They weren't going after the rich guys that owe millions. They were going after the people who owe peanuts and they don't have peanuts to pay. The latest report from the Tax Policy Center found that the IRS paid out $1 million in commissions to the bill collectors, spent an additional $19 million setting up the program. And for every year, if this program continues, and it very well may, we have continuing resolutions, we have budget deals where we could knock this out, but if we do continuing resolutions, this is more likely to just be rolled up in it. For every year it continues, the IRS expects to spend $16.5 million in recurring costs. Tell you what, if you need another program that loses you about $13 million a year, I can do it cheaper than $16.5 million. I can do it for $15 million. How about that? Huh? Well, it's a problem solved. Look, I don't just gripe about it. I bring you solutions, too, not just a negative milli. So there you go. How bad are they at everything? You know, I love the old Milton Friedman quote. that says if you put the federal government in charge of the Sahara Desert, pretty soon you'd have a shortage in sand. I believe it. This is the same government that when healthcare.com launched, they had 3 years to build the original Obamacare website. On the first day, it signed up 6 people. That's not a hyperbole. That's not a joke. That's the real number. 6 people. The IRS, the federal government, there was the Mustang Ranch. It was a brothel, a legal brothel in Nevada. They went and took that over because they were behind on their taxes, lost money. I'm James Parker. You're listening to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Be right back. What's up? It's Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. I'm your co-host, James Parker. Look, the best testimonial that you could get for what Gregory Ricks can do, you're listening to him right now. I work in radio. You know how much money we make? And look, this is good. That the public perception of radio is actually pretty close to reality because, yes, average person on the street, I don't know how familiar you are with it, but most people understand that Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Howard Stern, those guys make tons of money. But the rest of us, we're basically, they could pay us in sand. It's about the same. But I have a house. I cover my mortgage. I have 4 children. My wife doesn't work, and I work in radio, so you know I'm not making 6 figures. I'm making considerably below that. How am I able to do this? How am I able to have a modest little house over here in Lakeview, great neighborhood, on such a low salary? It takes a lot of planning, and it takes a lot of learning the system and playing ball. It takes a little bit of discipline, something I really don't have. I am a sloppy human being. I am a hot mess of humanity. Look, but I'm one of these guys. I'm the showbiz guy. I'm the artist. I'm supposed to be, you know, creative and fun like that. But my kids don't miss a meal. How do we do this? I mean, maximize your income, minimize your outflow, minimize your taxes, make sure you're not getting screwed anywhere else, be smart with your cars. You know, there's 1,000 little points of light that all come together. And I am so ecstatic with Gregory. I'm so ecstatic with the Total Wealth Authority. I have a hard time not kissing Jude Heath on the cheek like a giddy little schoolgirl every time I see him. He's our CPA. And look, this is January. This is tax season. I look forward to it now because I got this guy who he licks his chops to go after the IRS. He beats around the IRS for a hobby just because it's fun. But if I have a legal question and I get a letter from someone or even a letter from the IRS, I've got Wes to turn to, another Total Wealth Authority member. Dwayne Stein, Mortgage Gumbo, that guy, he helped me out this week. Miss Parker has an uncle who lives also in Lakeview just around the corner. But he had a home equity line of credit, and he didn't use all the money. And now he's concerned about the payment going up, and he's paying interest only. And, you know, he's just flushing money down the toilet, and he has some other debts, and he wants to pay it all off. And he was asking me, hey, should I use this HELOC money to pay off this debt, or should I take out another loan? I was like, have you not even thought about a cash-out refi? And he's like, well, I mean, I kind of did, but I'm not sure. And so I walked him through it. Dude, call Dwayne. What happened? It happened today. Dwayne hooked up Uncle Noel. I know it never ends. So you can be that guy for everyone. But it all hinges off of Gregory. He's the Superman in the Justice League here. And he can point you in the right direction. So this show just isn't all fun and games. It is fun and games until you have a real financial situation. And then if you need to escalate it, if you need some real help, Gregory Ricks and Associates. Check out GregoryRicks.com. Or it's linked on the Winning at Life app. Just get the app. February 16th is a special day for people who make $1 million a year because that is the last day they will pay Social Security taxes in 2018. Hang on before you're like, wait, that's not fair. How come I have to pay all year and they only have to pay for 47 days? Cool your jets. This is actually a pretty fair situation when it's explained to you. Unless you're one of the wealth envy crowd, unless you're one of the you didn't build that or wealth inequality or rich people or evil kind of crowd. But for the rest of us who understand that money isn't evil, how does Social Security fund itself? Most of its funding comes from withholding payroll taxes that workers receive, that you receive. Currently, it's a little deceptive, but intentionally so. You get your check, you see what your gross amount was, you see whatever they withheld for Social Security under the payroll taxes, that'll be 6.2% of your taxable income. But that's not all you pay. Your employer has to match that. So really, the money that is going towards you that gets siphoned away in taxes is 12.4%. And this is one of the more dastardly taxes because everyone pays this. This gets lopped off right off the top. And the only way you don't pay this is if your income is so low and you have the child tax credit or some other tax credits coming your way, and you get more tax credits back than you actually paid in. So then you have money left over from the system. So that's one way it could kind of be evened out. But for the most part, this is a tax that starts at 12.4% at the bottom. But then it stops at some point. You stop having your wage-based taxed for Social Security once you reach $128,400. So technically, this is what we call a regressive tax. You know, there's a bunch of people that are for a progressive tax system, or they think our tax system should be more progressive. That doesn't mean conservative versus progressive in the political parlance. That term progressive means the more money you make, the higher proportion of your income that should go to taxes. So someone making $1 million should pay more as a percentage of their income in taxes than someone making $50K, who should pay more than someone making $10K. Well, this is the opposite of that. If you make $1 million, you're going to pay a smaller percentage of your income in Social Security taxes than me, than Angie over there on the board, than a guy that makes, you know, $35,000 a year. Now, why is that? Well, it kind of has to do with the way Social Security was sold at first. It was a lot like the way Obamacare was sold. They're like, this isn't a tax. No, they're calling it a tax. Look, just because the government is forcibly collecting revenue from you and keeping it and spending it in the way that they choose, that's not just air quotes a tax. This is insurance. Yeah. That's the ticket. This is insurance. This is old age insurance. What old age? That doesn't make any sense. Look, car insurance is for if I wreck my car, then I get it fixed. House insurance for if I wreck my house, I get it fixed. Old age insurance. What? So if I wreck my old age or just for getting old, I get this money. Okay. But the problem comes if you set up a Social Security system where you just keep paying and paying and paying, and the more money you make, what are you going to turn around and say at benefit time? Well, then I should get more. Nah, they had to cap the benefits. They had to cap how much money they spent on Social Security because it would be a really bad look. And it understandably be bad policy. If there's some guy out there like a Bill Gates or like a Tom Brady who's out there making $60 million a year and paying in 12.4% of all that, and then you run it through the math, and when he retires at full retirement age at 70, he's going to be getting $1 million a year off the taxpayer because, hey, look, that's what the algorithm says. No, they had to cap it off. And it wouldn't behave like insurance either. Then it would be pretty obvious that this was just a wealth redistribution scheme, right? So what Social Security was sold to you as an old age pension, it's an old age tax, and the highest policy you could possibly purchase would be based on the income of $128,400. And so if no one's ever going to get bigger than that policy, then they should never have to pay a bigger premium than that policy requires. Aha. No, it is fair. It is fair that they only pay in for 47 days and I pay in the whole year. Why? Because I'm still going to pay in less than they do. And if they continued to pay in after 47 days, they wouldn't get a bigger check back. So for anyone who's concerned about fairness and if anyone's getting their fair share, their fair shake, or this is what fair is. Now, if you want to pull back the curtain or if you want to take off the mask, this silly facade that you're wearing that this is some sort of insurance, well, then go ahead and call it what it is. This is a wealth redistribution Ponzi scheme for old age people. This is an age-tested Ponzi scheme where we're going to take money from current taxpayers and give it to previous taxpayers who are already retired. That's what's really going on. Same thing they did with Obamacare. They're like, this isn't a tax? No, this is not a tax. Not a tax. This is insurance. Yeah, that's the ticket. Of course, when it goes in front of the Supreme Court, oh yeah, well, we have the right to do this because we have the power to tax. Wait, forcibly collect money. That's not what you said a second ago. Hey, but don't worry, Social Security screwed anyway. This is a nice little report from our friends over at Reason.com. The single largest government program in the United States, Social Security, will soon have an annual budget of $1 trillion a year, but it doesn't have the money to cover that. Of course, the trust fund is going to run out in a little less than 20 years, and then they're just going to have to cut the benefits to whatever they take in. So how are they going to keep the Ponzi scheme facade covered up? They're not, but they're going to keep the lie going as long as they can, and the media is going to help them with it. Fun stuff. We'll keep an eye on it for you here at Winning at Life. If you have any questions beyond the show, get the Winning at Life app. It'll connect you to all of our old videos and our social media outlets and Gregory Ricks and Associates. So if you need professional help, give that man a call. We'll be back to do this tomorrow. I appreciate you hanging out. I'm James Parker. This has been Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is a copyright of Down South Productions for the private use of our audience. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Any unauthorized use.